This is an over-the-top podcast.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's the Cinephiles, where we're doing another podcast about more movies, like what we've been doing for the last, 4 weeks? You get the gist. We watch a movie, we tell you about it, we review it, and we see how it goes.
But not
this week. Yeah, this week's going to be a little different. We figured that it would be nice if we told you a little bit about ourselves, what movies we're into. We've gotten into a couple arguments where we've got just a little bit different style on what we enjoy to see. So we want to show you who you might agree with, who you might sway with a little bit more when reviewing these movies. I'm your host, Logan Reinhardt, and right next to me, if he was anyone or anything, he'd just be an indie film, and you'd be sitting there crying in a corner. It's James, hey!
What's up? That's my name.
Yeah, he's indie nerd. And if it was anyone else, it's the box office buster.
Yeah.
The greatest man in the entire world.
Yeah.
Logan Reinhardt, followed by Matt McFarlane. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. My movie taste would probably be like a charcuterie. Fine taste, all of them incredible, where the typical person could not get the fine tastes of movies I enjoy.
Mine's like a Red Robin. It's going downhill really fast, but the food's decent.
Yours is like the Red Burger. It's just like, it's got a ton of meat in it, and then just an egg slapped on top, and
for some reason you shove
it all the way down your gullet before you can think about how horrible it is for you.
And James is a barbershop that also serves food for some reason,
it's a really quaint ice cream shop.
Yeah, it's Sparky's. These weird flavors. They just have all these crazy.
Yours
pictures.
is a red robin. James's is like a. It's like a really bad beer that's an acquired taste, but you drink it until you get the acquired taste.
It's like a Boulevard Tank IPA, where it's just exactly. Like, man.
This isn't good, but I'm going
to
keep drinking
it. Why does it have to taste better warm?
And then mine is not a charcuterie. Mine is probably like just a fun house. Mine's a bunch of weird mirrors everywhere, and you're looking around, and you don't know what's going on.
If you can't tell, we're all very hungry. Yeah, let's run with the alcohol. Yeah, James is a fine craft homemade beer that was made in someone's house for very cheap, but ended up being semi-decent.
Yours is Fireball.
Yeah, mine's Fireball for sure.
And mine is probably like a really weird...
Yours is just really expensive beer.
Mine's like a weird French wine that you can taste feet in it a little bit.
You're a seltzer.
I'm a seltzer.
Yeah, he's a Bud Light seltzer.
No, I'm a truly, damn it. I'm a truly of nothing else.
Truly of nothing else. All right, well, while this intro made us sound like alcoholics.
Not that any of us would know what alcohol is because we're all 19 or younger.
What's alcohol?
So are you guys both 18?
I'm 19. Been 19 since November. I'm older than you, son.
Well, actually, I was 19 in September, so...
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Fuck, why do you think your birthday was in December?
I'm 16.
He's just really smart.
All right, anyways, let's get into the list. We're doing a top 10 list. We got a couple honorable mentions in here. And, I guess I'll start off here. My number 10. Are we doing, like, a big countdown sound, or are we just going, like, 10?
No, we'll just say 10 and go around in a circle and say our top 10.
My number 10 favorite movie of all time is a movie that I didn't really get into. And the first time I watched it, I thought it sucked. And then I watched it again. And then I kept on finding myself going back to it. It's Inception. Because the first time I watched it, I didn't understand it and just thought it looked cool. And every time I watch it, I find something else that I like about it just a little bit more. And this movie costs $160 million to make. Which is as much money as I have in my checking account right now. And it made $800 million, which is how much money we're going to make off of this podcast.
This singular podcast.
Now, if you divided $800 million by, like, what?
By $800 million?
By $800 million and 0.1, and then...
Yeah, we're actually losing money off of this podcast.
Yeah, it's time and money. Please follow our Patreon. No, I'm kidding. Yeah,
here's
no.
Here's our Venmos. Here's our Patreon.
Yeah. No, my number 10 is Inception. I love this movie. It's fun to watch. It's easy to watch. There's a lot of complex things that go on, but if you just want to turn it on and sit back and have a good time and snuggle with a loved one, it's one of those movies that you can do and watch and have a good time every time you watch
it. Wait, what was that last part?
Snuggle.
What's that?
You cuddle with them, James. You haven't had love and affection since December. Matt, what's your number 10 movie?
My number 10 is 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, damn, dark. Okay.
Yeah. A very, very dark film produced in 2013, obviously about someone being a slave wrongfully.
I thought it was about the popular trombone group that toured North America.
No.
Oh, fuck.
It's about the dude who wants to be in that popular trombone group who gets kidnapped.
Who plays violin?
Who plays violin. This was made on a $20 to $22 million budget. I don't know what the $2 million of sway is there. And it made $187.7 million at the box office. Not necessarily a blockbuster, but I think most people would agree it's a pretty...
It's a pretty solid movie.
It's I mean, in terms of a race movie or a movie about slavery, it's about as good as it gets.
Oh, right, sure.
I mean, it's 12 Years a Slave and Django Unchained, and that's really your two choices.
I lean more of the Django just because I like Django sitting on a horse while Tupac plays in the background of my Western film, but that's just a personal acquired taste.
James, what's your number 10?
My number 10 is, in my opinion, one of the greatest romance movies of all time, which is probably my favorite genre. And it's Me Before You, 2016 movie, cost $20 million to make, made 10 times that at the box office. And I don't know, it's just, it's
That's
$200 million.
That's $2 billion?
Yes, that's, yeah, good job, Matt. We're proud of you. No, but it's just, it's the movie about the girl who goes and is the helper for the rich dude who's in a wheelchair, and she helps him enjoy his last few months on Earth. And I don't know, it pulls on my heartstrings every time. Even though I know the ending, I cry every single time because it's sad. Yeah, it makes it... You watch it, and you see her making him love life again and them falling in love. And in the end, spoiler alert, he decides...
Spoiler alert.
He decides that he wants to end his life anyways because he's living in immense pain from his accident. And it's just it's so sad when you see that you can be happy and still so broken inside at the same time. And I love it.
Yeah, that almost made my list. Me Before You and The Notebook almost made my list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like romance movies because I'm not a romantic person.
Yeah. I actually have no emotions. I've been diagnosed with psychopathy.
Me is robot.
James, you guys sound like a robot. Anyways, on to our number nine.
Nine.
One of my favorite movies that we all saw together. Very recent movie, but every time, I bought it. I've watched it a couple times since then. Every time I watch it, I enjoy it. It's The Lighthouse. Lighthouse. I think it's going to be either on all of our lists or maybe the honorable mention. I don't know about James, but I know Mr. Matt here loved that movie. Made $4 million, or it cost $4 million to make, and made 16.7 mil. A movie that wasn't a huge breakout, but I thought was better than what people thought it was going to be.
I mean, it won a ton of awards. It won Best Cinematography. It won three cinematography awards. It was nominated for a ton of... I mean, box office is not always the best indicator.
Yeah, I mean, Parasite movie off of its box office numbers is stupid because then classic Avengers movies did. that are great movies like Wizard of Oz and just other great older movies don't do great at the box office, especially Wizard of Oz. It was a Great Depression movie. And nobody could afford to go to the movies then, but it's one of the best movies of all time.
And like a lot of The Lighthouse is a weirder movie, and
it's a niche movie. It's an independent horror movie. And those are really
A24, who has done nothing but stellar production.
It takes time for weird movies to get a following and get traction like that.
Yeah, no,
it's very much a cult type movie.
I didn't hear about it. I watched a preview while I was at work on my phone because we get alerts for previews of movies that we're gonna get. I watched the preview and I was like, "Dang, this looks interesting." And then whenever we lost it at the theater, I was genuinely pissed because I was hyped for this movie. I had two posters claimed because I wanted it to be successful. And then when we finally got it, I brought Matt and James.
No, I didn't know about it until Cooper. The day we watched it, and I loved it.
Yeah. And
I saw the preview for it. I mean, they didn't do any press for it because it was such a small movie.
Yeah, and it wasn't meant to make a lot of money, but the way that they filmed it was so amazing. The music is amazing. The whole story is insane.
Defoe and Pattinson are both incredible.
To have two people play basically six different characters, but the same characters at the same time. Like, there's so much little intricacies, and if you watch it with a different theory,
it's very layered.
I've spent probably, collectively, 2 days just watching videos on YouTube about theories about The Lighthouse, and every time if you watch it with a certain theory in your head, look them up online, they're fantastic. It can play to that theory, and then if you watch it with another theory in mind, you're like, oh wait, that connects to this, and then next thing you know, you're looking like Charlie Day with all the strings wrapped around, and you're pointing to the billboard that means nothing. Matt, your numero nueve.
Mine is also The Lighthouse. Damn, that's why I was cheesing so hard.
Hey, gang, gang.
Instead of going into the box office, I'll list off. It won 4 major awards in the indie film scene. Independent Spirit Award for Best Supporting Actor went to William Dafoe. Independent Spirit Award for Best Cinematography went to Jaron Blaschke, who is the lead cinematographer, obviously. Satellite Award, which is another big indie film group. Best Supporting Actor went to William Dafoe. And American Society of Cinematographers, Best Cinematography went to Jaron Blaschke, who obviously was the lead cinematographer. That just shows you, I mean, the cinematic work in this movie and the imagery is absolutely beautiful. From the first scene on when they get off of the boat and you see them staring into the camera for, what is it, like a 30-second shot, and it's eerie, yeah. And you see the boat going behind them. Like, just that shows you how much imagery there is in the entire movie.
You felt deserted and you felt alone.
Yeah.
No matter where you were sitting.
Well, and because they shot it in the 3-to-4 ratio,
yeah,
it makes you feel claustrophobic, which is the whole point of the movie, yeah, is to feel claustrophobic.
And feel trapped, kind of like trapped in your own mind like they are. I mean, a 7.7 IMDb and 4 major awards or major when it's an independent film and 4 awards or major indie film outlets, I mean, it speaks for itself. It was a great movie. James, what's your number 9?
My number 9, nobody listening to this, and either one of you will ever have heard of this movie, Blackbeard's Ghost.
Have not. Cannot say I have.
Oh, that's the Scooby-Doo sequel.
It came out in 1968. It's an old Disney film. It's kind of a kids' movie, but it's really not that. Oh. It's not much of a kids movie.
Is it Johnny Depp in that?
No. It came out in 1968, and it's so basically the storyline is there's this old tavern or no old like hotel thing in New England that this guy goes and stays at, and it used to be owned by a Blackbeard, and he unlocks a spell that brings back Blackbeard's ghost, and Blackbeard's ghost was perpetually caught in between the living and the dead, and he had to do one good human deed,
mm-hmm,
and he helps the people who own the hotel from getting foreclosed on by betting money on a high school or in a college track event and winning a whole bunch of money. It's a really ridiculous movie, but it's one of the first movies that I remember watching, and I could not remember the name of it for the life of me for the last 12 years. I probably watched it when I was 6 on Disney Channel, mm-hmm, and just could not remember it. And then I was scrolling through Disney Plus and I saw it and I got so excited because I was just like, oh my God, that's that movie. I finally get to watch this again. And I watched it expecting to not like it. It's really not that bad of a movie for 1960. It's actually really well acted, and it made $21 million in the box office.
In 1968,
that's pretty good money. And now I just absolutely... It's one of the first movies that got me into liking movies.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it has a weird plot. Every single good movie that's not a blockbuster has a weird plot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Every single movie arguably has a weird plot. I mean,
Come on, man. Spider-Man 2, that plot's insane.
Yeah, it's not like it's a completely cyclical Spider-Man plot or anything like that.
No, not at all.
I love Spider-Man.
All right, let's kick it off. What's your number 8, Logan?
Number 8 is a movie that we've covered. It's the Departed. Made $90 million, or it cost $90 million to make. It made $291.5 million. We've talked about it. We talked about it extensively. This is a movie that one of the first movies that I watched with my stepdad. It means a lot to me. Every time I watch it, I have those memories. Shout out Dave. Love you, Dad. You're great.
Shout out Dave.
Yeah.
Hey yo, you know how it is, bro. Shout out Dave.
Yeah.
Shout out little Dave on the wheat side.
Nice dick. No, it's just, I love this movie. It's easy to watch. You can watch it any time of day, any mindset. You can like a different character every time you watch it. No one's great. No one's horrible. End of the day, 10 out of 10 for me. Love it. It's a fantastic movie.
I think all 3 main actors in The Departed are great.
Are fantastic. And
I mean we talked about the top 8 actors in that movie are all amazing.
Fantastic actors, yeah.
Even Alec Baldwin and Mark Wahlberg, who have a collective probably 12 lines in that movie,
are fantastic.
And
they all gave good performances, if not great performances.
No, we talked about it for an hour and a half. I could talk about it for another hour and a half. So, Matt, what's your number eight?
My number eight is 300, the 2006 history fantasy Spartan movie.
So we have Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Diet Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. No, this is this is a really good movie, and the way that it's acted and the way that it's done is very good. The cinematography in this movie, I think, is really underrated. The way that they kind of inherently put in sepia tone into the movie and kind of raise the contrast of it makes it feel more like an epic. Like you're.
Oh, dude! If watching it on an IMAX screen, again, they would a couple reissues at AMC over the summer. Dude, it was. It's insane because I watched it on like History Channel and been like, okay, cool. It's a good movie. It's not bad. But then watching it on a
like the cinematography, on a big screen, the way that they do it with raising contrast and lowering sepia tone and kind of like, I don't even know how they do the lighting. It's a weird type where they up the lighting in the background and make that bright and almost kind of pop. And it's almost like a highlight in the background. And then the foreground is very dark. And I mean, they do it on purpose because they want to show the squalor of death that the 300 live in. But just the way that they do it, the acting is really good. Every time you watch it, every time I watch it at least, it makes me want to it makes me want to cry at the end when everyone dies and makes me angry.
Thanks for the spoiler, gosh.
It makes me clap.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is take a history class, you know how the 300 ends.
Yeah, but I'd have to pay attention to that history class, and that's, I'm not here for that.
Every single time I watch this movie, it makes me angry at the person who's a traitor when they're standing against the Persians. It makes me inspired when I see them fight so well, and makes me sad when they all die. I think it's the best type of history, this type of movie, you know, type of medieval to Greeks and Romans movie. I think it's the best of that group. It made $456.1 million on a little bit over a $100 million budget, so...
That's not bad.
Yeah, it made pretty good money.
James, success, for sure.
Yeah, James, what's your number eight?
All right, probably another movie that nobody's heard of. It came out in 1955. James Dean's introduction to the major motion picture world, East of Eden, follows a boy who is kind of lost in the world. It kind of doesn't really follow a plot, really, but it does. It's kind of confusing. Basically, he thinks that his mom is somebody... And she is, but he doesn't find that out, really. And I'm not very good at explaining it. I also haven't watched it in a bit.
James Dean is the hot as fuck, and he's got
James Dean. But it's James Dean's introduction to the acting, or to the major motion picture world, and he's my favorite actor. And I don't know, the budget, it's an older movie, so who knows how much it cost to make. But it made $5 million in 1955, so not bad. But just... it was his first of three movies, and so overall, good movie. And it's a movie we're going to watch for this.
Okay, so when we spend 50 cents instead of a quarter to watch it.
Well, I have the disc.
So. Oh, shit, yeah. So when we spend 0 cents instead of a quarter.
Exactly.
My number seven is a movie that I've seen recently that I didn't know was going to impact my life as much as it did. Not in a negative way, because this movie's not positive at all. But now every movie that I see that has kind of a similar tone, I always feel like this movie does it better. It's Taxi Driver. And that just shows you how much I like Martin Scorsese. He's just fantastic as a director. But this movie, the way it uses color, the way it uses its music in the background, the way it makes you feel like you are an angry man in the 70s, during a time when there's a lot of political discourse, social discourse and also social reform. It makes you feel like you're a guy on the outskirts who's going crazy. And you watch this guy start off in the middle class and then end up, you know, only doing himself in even worse. And I love this movie. And when I saw Joker for the first time, I thought Joker was good the first two times I watched it, but I still wanted to go watch Taxi Driver again. And it's because Taxi Driver did the Joker, but didn't have to have that tie to being called the Joker. It was It was Taxi Driver. It's not a mindless movie, but it's a movie that you lose yourself while you watch it. And there's so many memorable parts, memorable lines, like talking to me, and then he just whips out a little pistol that wouldn't do any damage, but he thinks it will because of how cocky he is. It's just the start of a sociopath, and... I like movies to watch that people break down individually, which makes me sound like a horrible human being. But like, Taxi Driver.
I like to see people in pain.
Yeah, it only cost $1.3 million to make, and it made $284 million. And yeah. That's nuts.
That's a pretty good return.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that.
Speaking of good returns, my number, what are we on, seven, right? Yeah, my number seven is Slumdog Millionaire, which was produced on a $15 million budget and made $377.9 million. Have you guys watched Slumdog Millionaire?
No, sir.
No, I have not.
We're going to watch it because it's basically, it follows a impoverished Indian. It kind of has racial undertones between like the Indian Civil War.
Indian as like in India, not Native American Indian.
It's Indian as in like India. Yeah, this.
Yeah.
they're actually in Indiana, Indianapolis. In fact,
it's actually just a white dude.
Basically, this 18-year-old who's impoverished and has been in India. There are two different types of Muslims who basically war. He's on the losing side of this war at this point, and he's impoverished in India's capital, New Delhi. He gets invited on the Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and not through luck, because he's very smart, he becomes a millionaire overnight in Indian rupees. And it's just really well acted, based on
three American dollars.
Yeah. it's based on a real, like a...
Yeah, real
life event. It won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 2009. I mean, it won the Academy Award for Best Director in 2009, Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, Academy Award for Best Film Editing. I mean, that's
got... Yeah, it won a shit ton of awards.
It won a ton of awards. Like, I'm on Google right now looking at the awards. There are three different pages of awards to look... E-wards. Why am I saying E-wards? Awards to look at. It's won a ton of awards. It's really, really well acted, really well written, a great story, and the way that they do it and show the racial undertones is subtle but very compelling, I think, and that's one of the best ways to do it. They don't try to like force it in your face, but they show his backstory throughout the entire movie of him answering questions. And there is a scene I want to talk about specifically, but it's a huge spoiler, and if we're going to watch it, I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, Slumdog Millionaire, for sure, in my top 10. A really, really good movie. The awards speak for themselves.
Not only top 10, number 7.
Number 7.
top 7.
Top 7.
Wow.
That means it's in my top 100, too.
And your top 1,000.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. It's Matt's top movie.
I've actually only watched 10 movies, so...
this was very difficult.
I watched 11 movies in my lifetime, so it was really hard to choose which one to leave.
Well, I've watched 10 movies and one joke. The 10 movies, of course, I mean, we've watched a bunch of them together. The one joke was, of course, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The
movie fucking schmacks. Movie schmacks.
James, what's your number 7?
My number 7 is the 1993 live action The Three Musketeers. This is another movie that I think back, and it's one of the first movies.
That's a weird one. I was not expecting that.
You know, it's one of the first movies I remember watching, and it's actually a really, really good movie. It cost $17 million, and its box office was $54 million, so just over three times the amount of money it made. But it follows the books pretty closely. It follows more D'Artagnan's romances, those books, more closely than it does the actual Three Musketeers book. But it's based off of one of the best books of all time, and it does a great job of depicting that story. And it's just, it takes place in France, so the scenery is already beautiful. And just every single part of this movie is great. The casting was great. They chose four handsome men to play musketeers, which is who you would depict musketeers as.
Wait, there's only three of them.
Well, yes, but no. and they just did a great job of scenery and just the way that Tim Curry is one of the best villain actors of all time. I love watching Tim Curry.
Yeah, I like watching Tim Curry and as Pennywise the clown.
That was good too.
He's like
not
wait,
as good.
Wait, holy shit.
Not as good. But no, him acting as the bad guy, the cardinal of France at the time. Acting that is just one of the best villain roles outside of like major motion picture like trilogies or series. Probably one of my favorite bad guys of all time.
Well, my favorite bad guy of all time is Ted Bundy. He's a real bad guy.
Wow. Okay. My favorite bad guy
mine's BTK.
Is Billie Eilish. So,
mine's BTK.
Duh. Do do do.
Yeah, nothing like torturing people for. All right.
Back to Logan.
All right.
Number six.
Number six.
Number six.
You might as well put, you know, six. Six. Matt, I'm not going to say it because you're going to get mad.
Whoa.
The triple six.
Yeah, yeah. The triple six. Triple this by three because I got a demon sliding in at number
999 upside down.
Yeah. He's a dream demon. One of my favorite horror movies.
The right.
Horror franchises of all time, which was not meant to be successful. It's Freddy Krueger and the Nightmare on Elm Street. The original one in the 1980s. Strictly for the fact that it's scarier than the remake. it cost $1.8 million to make. Robert Englund, fantastic as Freddy Krueger. All the actors didn't really make any money. It was the first role that Johnny Depp had, and it made people actually scared to go to sleep. I remember the first time I watched the original, I was terrified to go to sleep, and then I watched the remake, and I thought it was funny. This movie still is scary to anyone who is younger, and the effects are still pretty believable watching this
movie. Isn't that crazy how older older horror movies are
scarier than the
new ones?
Yeah, because they have to use actual practical effects
And
make it look realistic rather than just being like,
CGI!
CGI,
man.
I'm much scared of a man who looks genuinely burnt and took an hour and a half of
movies from like horror movies from like 1990 to like 2010 just aren't scary.
Yeah, they're starting to do different like psychological
now. Yeah, I think scary movies now are just as scary as they were in the 80s.
All the Insidious movies were really, really scary. So it was all the Paranormal.
Yeah, but even those
movies.
But those are exceptions.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the majority of horror movies in the last decade and in the future and in the 80s are legitimately
because there was
scary.
A period of time where they tried to be original and then they were like, oh shit, we're not making any money. Jason, go back out there.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger, go back out there.
Let's do Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Awesome.
But again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they made the scary movies. And I
which
think
is made
kinda,
fun
I think
of
they
it.
Kind
yeah.
of woke up the horror movie genre.
Because then you could see the tropes.
To look at themselves and say, oh wow.
And then they had to
We've
change
made
the
two
tropes.
Decades worth of really bad horror movies.
Well, the best types of horror movies are originals, right? They come from your own
exactly.
head.
Oh, yeah.
And they prey on the fears
of the
person.
That's why Jordan Peele's horror movies are amazing.
Yeah.
Because just what's the one that
Get Out?
Yeah, Get Out. That just the whole movie is one twist and turn the entire time. It's just a whole bunch of twists and turns, and you never see it coming.
My idea of horror is very. I like to be scared, but what makes me scared is not necessarily like. I don't know. If you put a spider on a screen, I'm not going to be scared
the thing.
The
horror movies is like psychological.
Yeah, I like
horrors,
to think like
those are so
damn when
scary.
I walk out on the road and I see a group of deer, I'm going to start thinking about Get Out because I get scared. And this movie did that for me as a kid when I first time I saw Robert Englund stretch his arms and scratch the side of his furnace, I was like, dude, this is scary. And when I went to sleep, there was my bed was the same length and it was flat and looked just like, I couldn't sleep then. I slept the floor because it was terrifying. And every time I watch this movie, I get the nostalgia feel and I feel like no movie's ever going to do it better than what I felt when I see this movie. So that's why it's number six. Matt, what's your number six?
My number six also has to do with a hacker and a slasher. Hacksaw Ridge. It's a war movie.
I was like, I'm going to say like, huh?
My,
the Nazis?
I was
going
to say my number six movie is also a horror movie. That'd be really kind of scary if all three of our number sixes were horror
movies.
Well,
this is kind of a horror movie.
I mean, Hacksaw Ridge is...
War scary.
I mean, not a horror movie, but basically it revolves around a private first class named Desmond T. Doss, played by Andrew Garfield, former Spider-Man stepping up. And basically he won the Congressional Medal of Honor despite refusing to bear arms during World War II. He refused to hold a gun. Basically, on a huge fight on, get this, it's called Hacksaw Ridge, where the fight took place.
What? It's almost like you like history or something.
He refused to basically retreat with the rest of his troops and continued to take the injured as a medic and get them down to their camp at the base of the ridge And I mean, there's multiple scenes where the Nazis almost find him. People are trying to shoot him in the back, and all this really happened. And I can't believe someone in real life was that brave, because I know my ass would have been sitting on the camp down below, smoking a cigarette, writing back to
my girl. Or just not even going.
Yeah, we're just saying.
Going out to Canada. Yeah, I'll see you guys in 4 years when the war's over. I'm a hippie.
Or saying I have flat feet and I can't go. Yeah. Or meeting Muhammad Ali in prison. I'll roll the dice and see if I meet him. No, this is a really well-made movie. I mean, it won a ton of awards as well. It didn't win any Academy Awards, I don't believe, but it won the Academy Award for Best Sound Mixing. Other than that, it won a lot of Critics Awards, a lot of ACTA Awards. Our Andrew Garfield actually won a Best Lead Actor Award, a lot of Best Editing Awards. It was a really well-put-together movie. And to make a war movie and write it that well and not have it seem kind of the typical war movie trope, you know?
Yeah.
It's really hard to do, and I think they did it really well. And as a writer, as someone who likes to write, it really impacted me in terms of writing good, convincing dialogue for different situations and not relying on the old tropes of tell my mother I love her and stuff like that. James, what's your number six?
My number six is the 2017 adaptation of Stephen King's It. This is a movie to me, even as an adult now, that I watch it, and when I'm done watching it and I walk out of the movie theater, I walk outside and I see like a dark shaded spot, or I see like a gutter.
Or a storm drain.
Yeah, or a storm drain. I think to myself, like, huh, is there a killer clown down? Do I need to be scared for my life? Because, I don't know, it's...
Well, can you float?
I can float, actually. I'm very buoyant.
I wear steel-toed boots wherever I go, just to make sure I got that.
Okay.
I want to die.
But not only is it very, very scary, and that obviously when you go watch a horror movie, you want to be scared. That otherwise, you wouldn't go to watch a horror
movie. No, I go to a horror movie to relax and take
That's
a nap.
True, yes. But it's very well put together, and it blows the old version of It out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Not the old version was bad, but this version is just so good.
This is... And Skarsgård, the actor in it, is just incredible. The way he can contort his face to look like Pennywise the Clown. The fact that the only makeup that they put on him is the white powder, the red lipstick, and the big dome on the top of his head, and then everything else he did with his face was just him moving his muscles, is incredible.
I wish Jim Carrey.
And if it wasn't a horror movie, he probably would have won an Academy Award for Best Actor, because he was so good in this
movie. I wish Jim Carrey would have been Pennywise at one point.
Oh, wow, that would have been scary.
The way that he can move his face, mm-hmm. too, would have been really, really fun.
Although, Bill Skarsgård has the perfect voice.
Yeah, that's
for
true.
For Pennywise.
Yeah.
Hi, George.
And the CGI in this movie
is really well done.
Yeah, this movie is so incredible.
In terms of horror movies, yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite horror movie of all time.
Really?
I love it. I love the It and It 2 are my two favorite horror movies.
I liked it.
I got a couple horror movies.
Maybe when The Candyman comes out, I think, after watching the preview for The Candyman today.
Have you seen the original Candyman?
No.
It's they're okay.
after watching the previews for The Candyman today.
Yeah, it looks really good.
That will probably end up being in my top 10.
We need to see The Invisible Man. It just came out, and it's getting really, really good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe we might do our first ever...
Live.
No, not live episode, but like a movie that's still in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so you're just going to stream the movie from the movie theater just for you guys.
Do it on Twitch.
I liked It, and I'm a person who doesn't like... Like, I can count on two hands the number of horror movies that I just truly actually like.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, being scared, I get that as a trope, but like in terms of them being objectively really good movies, I can count less than 10 that I really think personally are really good movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I think It is definitely, both Its are definitely up there. All of the Insidious movies are objectively really, really good. It's, as well, it's absolutely fucking terrifying to me.
Last Key was,
I mean, yeah, I'm going
every franchise has the...
I'm going off of up to chapter 3. I think all of those are just absolutely...
Yeah, 1 and 2 were killer. 3 was...
3 was my favorite.
3 was a different kind of scary. It was terrifying.
Terrifying.
Very
yeah.
scary, abusive, and stuff like that. I was like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this girl get through
it
anymore.
Both It's... Insidious chapter 1, 2, and 3. Paranormal Activity is obviously really good. And if you want to glump in, like... Movies like The Number 23 and The Right as horror movies, which they really aren't, but you could say they are because they're thrillers, technically. But I think that in terms of horror movies being objectively good, having really good acting and really good writing, I think It is right up there with any other really good horror movie. like I said, I like being scared.
Yeah,
but
if the Academy wasn't biased against horror movies,
horror and weird, yeah.
Yeah, it would have won. It probably would have swept. Not swept, actually, the Academy Awards, but it would have cleaned house.
More,
it would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have probably. It probably would have won Best Picture. Actually, yeah. I don't know. 2017 was such a good year for movies.
Might have won Best Cinematography though.
Best Cinematography. It would. I think Bill Skarsgård would have been really, really close for
best
Actor. I mean,
supporting.
That was. He's the main actor.
Really,
I consider him the main actor. He was the highest paid actor in that movie.
Yeah, I think those kids as a group were the main
focus. I guess. I don't
focus.
Know. It's so hard
I
to
would
tell.
Say that. I don't think it's
but,
Billy.
But, I mean, 2017 would have been a hard year anyways.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, he lost out to Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea, which is a good movie, don't get me wrong.
No,
but
that was the same year that Call Me By Your Name came out and
yeah.
Chalamet was nominated for Best Actor. The Disaster Artist came out that year. Franco was nominated for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just such a great year for movies.
Yeah. Logan, what is your, number four now?
Number
five now. Halfway through.
Yeah, remember, we almost had all sixes be horror
movies.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Because it's like six,
actually,
six, six,
I change
six,
it.
Eight.
I change it. Number six is Texas Chainsaw Massacre number three.
You chose the worst one. I'm a huge fan of sports, huge fan of combat sports. And
you are?
Yeah, it's almost
did
like
you know that about Logan.
It's almost
no,
like
that
it's
is insane.
It's almost like we do a sports podcast where I get to talk about combat sports by myself because you guys don't watch it
because we don't know any.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't watch it.
It's just that you just don't know.
It.
You just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I know wrestling,
but
I
one
say,
of my
I know boxing,
one of my favorite movies to watch continuously to feel good and then realize that life is always going to get you down, and then you got to come up and fight again. It's Rocky.
Can't get me down.
What's the Rocky?
Okay, this movie was written because Sylvester Stallone liked boxing and was homeless, and he was going to sell it for. He wasn't even going to sell it. He just wanted to give it to someone and then be the main actor. And then whenever 20th Century Fox was like, "We'll give you 20 mil for it," he goes, "Nah, I'll take 1 mil." And be the head actor. And if it fails, it fails. You only put $1 million into it. They gave him like $250 for the script. And then gave him the lead role. I think it was like $200,000. And everyone else around him got paid a little bit more.
A very finite amount of time.
They gave him, I think it was 90 days.
Yeah,
and that included him cutting weight. And looking like he was ready to box. Finding a guy to play Apollo Creed. Getting extras. Like that, like... He had to be working day and night.
No, he went through the entire
production
process, besides editing.
Yeah, in 90
days. In 3 months, which is insane. And for when it came out, today it's not that insane.
But I don't know.
It
would still be insane
because
for being as good as it is.
Filming a movie today takes 3 months.
Yeah.
But casting and everything else.
Yeah.
Auditions.
We got movies announced for 2023 already.
No,
like,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like they're
it takes
already
3 months
making
to shoot
stuff.
A movie.
Yeah, but this movie cost $1.1 million.
Yeah.
What do you guys
over.
Think?
He's out.
What do you guys think
it made at least a billion, didn't it?
A billion?
Yeah, I'd say like $500
yeah,
million.
Back,
dollars.
When did it come out?
Back at the time, 76.
76, probably like $500 million.
Yeah, at the
made $225 million.
Really? That's love for
box
me.
Office.
That's true.
That's
American
it.
Box office.
That's it.
And I mean,
for probably, being a boxing movie in 76.
I'm just saying, like, that's not that much money any time period. Put that in
that's, but that's
that's
in,
not
se-
that much
that's
money.
In 76.
No, I know.
That's in 76 money.
I mean,
so that's probably.
It grossed, I mean, we have the $1 million into it.
No,
but if
I
you
know.
Think about it, yeah, if you
it
think
literally
about,
made
225 times
the amount
yeah.
that they spent on it.
But
and
if you think
that's
about
to count,
posters,
like,
the pop culture references. Everyone knows who Rocky Balboa is, the Italian Stallion.
And all the CDs.
Yeah, and then people think, you know, this is the one where he beat Apollo. Nah, man, he just lasted with them. He did it for Adrian. He didn't win. He lost. It's just like Creed. Creed is just Rocky.
Well, when you think about this one, then all the slightly worse spin-offs. He made a ton of money off of it.
Dude, I still like Rocky 4.
I
like
Rocky
2.
All the Rocky movies.
Rocky 2 and Rocky 3 are good. They're
good.
It's
just a good story.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that they're bad movies.
Rocky 4 schmacks because it's like the most anti-Russia.
Yeah. And it was made right in that time period
where
America hated Russia.
Yeah, we will watch Rocky 4 before we watch Rocky 1 because Rocky 4 is so
well, we
got to
watch
cheesy.
All of them. That way we can get the references.
We're going to watch in 1 week the entire Rocky saga and the entire Star Wars saga.
No, all in one day.
All in 1 minute.
Well, that's a little extreme, Logan, done. Don't you think? I finished. Way to ruin the joke.
Yeah.
Boo.
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 Joke killer.
Boo.
Matt. Mine. What's your numero?
Five.
I was thinking the fünf.
Numero 50. My Girl, 1991 film, starring Macaulay Culkin.
Ooh. You just like watching kids kiss.
Yeah.
I watched that with my girlfriend.
It's a good movie. It's a really good feel-good movie. Not really. Usually, I don't like feel-good movies.
Yeah, James is like, yeah, I like feel-good movies. I'm like, yo, bro, serial killers and fucking sports. And you're like, history?
It's objectively maybe not the best movie of all. If we're going off of what impacted us the most, though.
Oh, no, yeah, it's just our favorite movies of all time.
My Girl was the first movie my mom ever made me watch that I can remember. And yeah. Also, it was my first, like, really good movie that I remember. So, and I mean, it's objectively a good movie. It has 6.9 on IMDb. It's an above average movie. Has two child actors. It was pretty good. MTV Movie Award for Best Kiss, in fact.
Oh, ooh. That's
kind of creepy, but
between two younger than 12-year-olds in real life during at the time.
Yeah.
No, but it's a really good movie, and it's for child acting. The acting in it is incredible. Whenever you have two child actors and one of the main actors dies, spoiler alert, in Macaulay Culkin and the I can't remember her name, Anna Chlumsky, her acting was really good in this for such a young girl. James, what's your number five?
Her acting was so good for such a young
girl. My number five is another one of my favorite childhood movies, the 2003 live version of Peter Pan. I don't know, it just, to me, Peter Pan's one of my favorite books of all time.
Is it the really cheesy? No, that's Hook. I think that's
Hook. No, yeah. Hook, the Robin Williams movie? Yeah. Hook's another really good movie.
Yeah, Hook's not bad.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But, no, Peter Pan, the 2003 version, to me, it's another one of those movies that I remember watching as a kid. And Peter Pan as a character encompasses, like, never growing up, obviously, and just always being able to enjoy life and be a kid. And, I don't know, just watching that movie brings me back to my childhood and makes me remember when, like, things were easier, you know, because you're a kid. I just love it. And I think that's as many times as you can legally say kid in a sentence. So,
Yeah, when I was a kid, I really liked this because it made me feel like a kid. And then I got a baby sheep called a kid, and I named him Kid.
Shut up.
I want to watch two kids kiss.
Just saying, I'm the only
two kids kiss with kids.
Just
kissing
saying,
kids.
I am the only one to choose movies that are based off of books. So.
I don't like books.
Am I the smartest one in this room?
No, you're probably not. All right, my number
not
four.
Not the dumbest one, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I like Ninja Turtles. number four for me, it's a movie that I watched a lot as a kid, and that I continue to watch. Yesterday, actually, in fact. It's Ghostbusters.
Ooh, that's such a good movie. The first one or the bad ones?
2016, no. no, Ghostbusters.
I am so excited to see the new one.
The new Ghostbusters looks like it's going to smack.
Oh, my God. Oh. Paul Rudd's one of my favorite actors.
I love Paul Rudd because he's from Kansas City.
I mean, I like him because he's a good actor.
That's the only knock on him.
The only thing I don't like about Paul Rudd.
No, I like Paul Rudd. It looks really good. But this movie, to me, is one of the best paranormal comedies. there's not a lot of...
That's a very, very niche genre.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies to just watch and be like, damn, I'm having a good time. Like, yeah. If I want to watch a sports movie... And if I had to pick any of these movies to watch, and I had to watch with my sister and my girlfriend, and my parents, we're watching Ghostbusters. Because it's funny, there's jokes for adults, there's jokes for children, there's jokes for teenagers. Hell, there's jokes for professors that I still don't get, and ghosts are also pretty cool. This movie cost $30 million to make, and made $295 million. So it was a huge success, and it spawned a franchise that was okay. And a video game in 2009 that was really good based off of the movie. Other than that, the Ghostbusters franchise has not yet lived up to this first one.
No.
I think this new one has a possibility of being close. I don't think it'll top it because the original is just so funny. When you put like four of the best comedians together and they all have four different styles of comedy.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like Friends.
Yeah,
like Friends.
Exactly. Except
it's like Friends with
except,
ghosts in a movie.
It does take place in New York, so
except Ghostbusters is funny. Friends isn't. Matt, what's your number
four? Oh, before Matt goes, I just want to say, the first ever Best Kiss MTV Award was Macaulay Culkin and Anna Chlumsky.
How old were both of them?
I don't know how old they were.
They were...
But the fact that that was their inaugural first kiss was two under 12-year-olds.
Yeah, MTV's like...
I think it says a lot about MTV.
Nirvana. Nirvana's playing Nevermind. Well, let's watch two kids kiss.
Anyways, Matt.
Is there just swimming in money?
Anyways, Matt, what's your number four?
My number four, I think you can definitely tell. My 6 through 10 are all really, really good movies that I think are really, really good. And that's why they're in my top 10. Yeah,
debatable.
And then number 5, My Girl, I think is... I mean, very good.
A little split, yeah.
Number 23 for me.
Horrible!
Personally, the movie that impacted me the most as a writer, as someone who likes to write, it had a $35 million budget, of which Jim Carrey took exactly $23 million out of. And it made $77.6 million at the box office. It was nominated for a few different awards. I mean, it's a Jim Carrey movie, so it's going to get a little bit of buzz. Yeah, it's going to get a little bit of buzz. I just think that this movie, despite its 8% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is preposterous, is a really well-written movie in terms of what it is.
It's very layered.
Yeah. So do you want us to yell about this movie for another hour? No, I think I'd put it on another top 10 list that we'll probably end up doing.
Top 10 worst movies?
Another top 10 list.
Top 10. I don't think you could ever say that something with above a 6 on IMDb is a top 10 worst movie of all time.
Anyway, this is our personal favorite list, so that's all that really matters.
No, Matt, when you said that you liked this movie, I had a feeling like it was going to be on this list, because when I said, what's your number four? And you just looked at me, and I went, okay.
It's one of my personal favorite movies. It's something that
you liked it whenever we watched it last week. So,
I hated it whenever we watched it. Actually, never mind. This is my bottom 10 list. Number 24 sucks.
That's
my 24.
The 24. Number 24 sucks. Oh, yeah. The sequel.
Yes. After he gets out of jail.
Yeah, everyone knows the sequel is not better than the original.
It's just him going the number 23.
I'm doing all that math. James, it's just him at a chalkboard.
James, what's your number four?
Better than my math professor.
Growing up as a DC fan, and I've never really latched onto Marvel, just because I grew up with watching the Batman, the animated shows, watching...
Fuck yeah.
what's the one that takes place in the future? I loved that.
Batman Beyond.
I want them to make a Batman Beyond...
the movie?
Trilogy. That would be so cool.
Oh my god.
Could you imagine?
I just came.
That would be freaking crazy.
Dude, my childhood would be fully complete. Oh,
I might direct that someday. And I hope I do. That'd be really fun.
That'd be awesome.
Right?
Can I be Batman?
You're a little short. You can be old Batman.
Yeah, I can be cripple
Batman.
Okay,
I'm fine with that. You can be old Batman.
Fuck yeah,
bro. You can
be
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
My fourth favorite movie is, in my opinion, the greatest, and in many people's opinion, the greatest comic book movie ever made, The Dark Knight, 2008. Grossed over $1 billion at the box office, of course. It's the movie where Heath Ledger is the only person ever win a posthumous Oscar for... And just an incredible...
Which he deserved, because
the Joker
in
that movie was insane. Oh, the best Joker. Oh. Better than Jack Nicholson's Joker, which is saying a lot, because
Jack Nicholson's Joker
was
still
incredible.
Great.
And I think... who plays Batman? I can't think of his name.
Christian Bale
is the best
Batman.
He also
plays Bruce Wayne. Two characters.
Oh my god. This guy. Is the best Batman in my... He encapsulates what it means to be Batman, which is class, but still that vigor...
A badass with class.
Yeah, with class.
A
exactly,
badass rich
Which
bro.
Is exactly what Batman is. And he just, he captures it so much. And I just love this movie. And it's the first movie that I remember going to the theaters and watching it with my dad. We were in Minnesota. At the Minnesota Zoo, they have an IMAX theater right next to the Minnesota Zoo. It's part of the zoo. Great. And they were playing The Dark Knight. And me and my dad and my uncle went to it. And my mom was like, I don't know. I think it's rated PG-13, and I was, of course, seven or eight at the time, and my uncle was like, "No, he'll be fine. It's not that violent." And it's old IMAX, so there's screens on the ceiling, front of you, and both sides. And I just remember watching, the only thing I remember from watching in that theater is the opening scene where they break into the bank. That's the
best
thing
heist. The best heist in a movie that's not a heist movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember watching that and thinking, oh my god, this is what the movies are supposed to be. And yeah, I just,
that's what old cinema is supposed to be. That's exactly. That's what going to movie theater is supposed to be, is you walk in and you're just amazed and wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what a blockbuster is supposed to be.
Exactly.
If you asked me to give you the perfect blockbuster movie, that is what a blockbuster is supposed to be. It's supposed to just wow you and amaze you.
Knock your socks off.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what this did. Like, that piled with being one of probably my favorite memories with my dad makes this one of my favorite movies of all time.
The thing that blockbusters do is, like all the Transformer movies, even if they're horribly written, because
they knock your socks off.
They knock your socks off.
I watched all of them in theater.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Pirates of the Caribbean, same thing.
Yeah, like The Dark Knight is meant to be watched. Like indie films, like gritty indie films, are meant to be watched on a small TV in black and white in your room alone. Whereas, like, blockbusters are meant to be watched. Like, The Dark Knight, to me, is the most perfect example of a movie that is meant to be watched.
And it felt like a Batman comic if you weren't into, like, deep. Like, I'm deep into comic books. I like deep, and they get really weird.
You could just make this a vigilante movie, and it has the same energy.
Yeah, this is...
It's such a good movie.
Yeah, this is the most surface-level Batman, where even if you haven't read a single Batman comic and you watch this movie, you're still going to be like, I fucking understand
Which I think is why it's the greatest comic book movie of all time, because it does apply to such a broad audience of people. And I love it.
So, I'm going to follow up your number four.
Mm-hmm.
My number three, which is another comic book movie, but it's not the same one.
I get really hyped.
One of my favorite superheroes. It battles between Spider-Man and this man here. It cost $90 million to make, and made $619 million. It's Logan. I'm a huge Wolverine guy. I not even just because his name is Logan, but I remember when I was little playing Marvel's Ultimate Alliance and Ultimate Alliance 2, and I want to be Wolverine, because he's the guy that doesn't care, has knives on his hand, and is 4 foot tall. And that's me, except I have normal fingers, and I just like to... I wish I had knife fingers.
Still 4 feet tall, though.
But I loved Wolverine. I liked X-Men, X2. I liked X3. And whenever Wolverine X-Men Origins came out, I dragged my biological father to come see it with me. He hated it. I loved it because Wolverine was cool. I saw the Wolverine in theaters, which was on him in Japan. And I also loved it because it was like an anime. And it was right after I saw Kill Bill for the first time. So I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. It's Kill Bill, but with Wolverine.
Well,
and then
superpowers.
Yeah. And then, I'd be Uma Thurman. And then watching Logan, where I had all this built up of basically, 13 years. It was like my Avengers movie, where I was like, this is the culmination of this guy's career. Hugh Jackman played it fantastically. The music in it is awesome. If you haven't seen this movie, see it. Spoiler at the end, when Wolverine dies, I was in theaters. I didn't take my girlfriend to see it. Who did I have see it with? I think I saw it by myself. It was one of the first movies I came and watched just by myself, because I was so excited, and my girlfriend was busy, which
I'm so
we always
excited.
See.
You were that
yeah.
excited that
yeah.
she
we
that
always
she came
see movies
to the movie?
Together. I told her not. She said she was busy for that day. I was gonna take her, and I said nope. I'm gonna go anyway. So I went. I sat, ate a whole large popcorn, and about halfway through, I set it down and just enjoyed, because this movie is not only cinematically appealing.
Are you saying that you can enjoy a large popcorn and a movie at the same time?
No,
because
crunching, bro, drives me crazy.
Did you say anything?
I hate the sound.
Anything!
I hate the sound of, like, crunching
chips.
Wait,
you chew your popcorn?
Yeah.
I usually put water in it and then
just let it dissolve in my mouth. I get through, like, two pieces through a movie, but I just let it dissolve in my mouth. All the butter, and then two pieces of popcorn.
No butter, light salt.
I have a special deal with the movie theater where I only have to pay $1 for my popcorn, because they only put 2 kernels in.
But 3 pounds of butter.
Just load it. It's a bucket of butter with 2 kernels in it.
That's disgusting. I feel like half the people I work with, that's just how they eat their popcorn. But no, this movie, I cried at the end. And I watched the Titanic and was like, I expected it. The Titanic sank. I watched... I watched My Girl and cried. Gone Girl actually made me almost cry. Rocket Man was really sad, didn't cry. Bohemian Rhapsody, really sad, didn't make me cry. This fucking movie.
It's like the
when Hugh Jackman's sitting there just staring at the fucking. I was sitting there and there's four grown ass men in front of me and they're just staring at the screen. And I leaned back and I got like this. I leaned back in my chair and just tears started pouring from my face. And I was like, I'm crying in the movie theater right now. And as the lights turned on, I was like quickly like wiping my eyes. And I was sitting there like, that was really good. And I walked out and got in my car and then just sat. And I was like, It's done. I want to be Wolverine. That's my goal.
You saying didn't cry is like the emotional version of the meme, not funny, didn't laugh.
Yeah. All these sad movies, didn't fucking cry. Wolverine, Logan, I fucking cry.
Not sad, didn't cry, bro.
Not sad, didn't cry.
My
Cranky, I'm Wolverine.
We're on three.
Wow, yeah, we're on numero. You're bad with numbers today.
I am. I'm.
Oh, you were on tres leche.
We're on number 23.
It's three dairy.
My number three is the 1980s film The Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Produced on a $30 million budget, and it made $115.2 million. In my opinion, one of the funniest movies of all time. It's basically like musical Dumb and Dumber in a way. I don't know. It's kind of hard
to explain. It is a musical Dumb and Dumber now that I think about it.
Anytime you take John Belushi, who, God rest his soul, died at 33... 2 years after the release of this movie, and could have been one of the funniest comedians of all time, and Dan Aykroyd, two of the best. They were on SNL together. They were the original great SNL.
When John Candy is one of your supporting actors.
Well, if you just want to look at it objectively, the plot is really good. The acting is really good. It's super funny. It does what it wants to do. I think the thing that sets this movie apart is the music. Oh my God, the music is good. Have you ever seen this movie, James?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, the movie.
I imagine the music is the equivalent of like Cats. Like Cats is a bad movie.
Yeah,
but this is like the soundtrack to Cats is phenomenal.
Just let me read off the performers they have in this movie as actors who also do musical numbers. Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi did perform the blues together on SNL for 5 years. They were both actually really talented singers, and they did well on SNL. It's one of their longest running skits, is because they were good singers. They have Steve Cropper, one of the best guitar players ever in their band. Donald Dunduck, another one of the best ever. Carrie Fisher is one of their supporting actors. She didn't sing.
Yeah, Princess Leia, let's go. Was she in a metal bikini?
She was the entire movie.
Oh my
actually.
God, that's fucking crazy.
No, she was. She had a good. Like, she was a supporting role. She was basically a comedic relief. She didn't sing. Aretha Franklin was one of the had a musical number with them.
Who's that?
Oh my God, Matt the Detroit in me wants to slap the. Matt Guitar Murphy, who is. Played himself, Matt Guitar Murphy, Lou Marini, one of the best saxophonists of all time. John Candy again was a big part of it, although really not that big of a role. One of the supporting actors was really good. Alan Rubin and Tom Malone, two great musicians. Willie Hall. I mean, there was so many
star-studded cast.
Yeah, there were so many great performers.
I think it's okay.
You think it's okay? Well, I think you're out of over the top. Get out of here now.
Oh, bro.
Go.
This is what it took. 4 hours of yelling about the number 23, and all it took was me saying, it's okay.
Eric Clapton, the frontman for the Animals, also performed and had a part of a musical number. I mean, there were just so many really, really good performers. I think it was legitimately one of the funniest movies ever. And whenever I'm feeling sad, I just watch this movie from start to finish, and I instantly feel better. It's one of me and my dad's favorite movies. We watch it all the time whenever I'm home. And it is, apart from being like a really good movie, in my opinion, I think it also holds a really special place in my life. And I think that if you haven't watched it, watch it, because it's equal parts incredibly entertaining, because it's incredibly well written and has great musical numbers, and also just a very good movie in general. James, what is your number three? Also, it's got Nazis in it, and they defeat the Nazis.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh. Dang! I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Nazis, they're
bad. They're bad.
Oh, yeah, and also, also Steven Spielberg acts in it.
Does he really?
He has one scene cameo.
That's
just okay. Because.
As Steven Spielberg, then?
Yeah, no, not as Steven Spielberg. He's as a clerk author.
Well, that's not a cameo.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Know your terms, Matt.
Yeah. Sorry.
What? Let me guess. You haven't taken film 1800? You're a loser, am I right?
Get yeah, bro. I've taken film 1800. Dumbass. Fucking damn, piece of Matt. Shit.
Anyways, my number three. We've already done an episode on this movie, and it's Call Me by Your Name.
Call Me by Your Name.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
James?
Probably.
Wait, no, Logan?
Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. When he said that, I was like, "Yeah, what?"
Anyways, my favorite.
Wait, isn't that just masturbation? If you're saying your own name while you're
getting it?
Sex?
I don't know. Anyways,
if you're listening at home and I'm behind you going doggy, I want you to think about it real smooth.
Anyways, okay, Logan. Call Me by Your Name is, I think, one of the greatest love stories of all time.
It's a love story.
It encapsulates how two people can fall in love over a summer and how it can mean more to one person than the other, and just how love is genderless and how anybody can love anybody, really. It's a great movie. And Timothée Chalamet is one of my favorite actors acting right now and probably of all time. He's an amazing talent. I just loved watching that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
It's slightly better than episode. Indiana Jones. Raiders of the Lost.
Thank you.
It's not as good as my number two because my list is first. No, man, number two for me. Number two. This was really difficult and I couldn't make a selection. So I made a tie, which might be against the rules, but who cares? I'm the one that made up the idea.
No, once again, you're out. You're out twice.
I'm out twice. Double out. I'm out.
One more out, and the inning's over, Logan.
Six strikes, bro. You just got rashed.
I'm out, and I'm back in by the transitive property. No,
it's making in. God damn, he's right.
My favorite director is Quentin Tarantino. I think we can all say that he's one of the best directors of all time.
He's top 10.
Better than Michael Bay. One of my favorite.
I have two favorite movies by that are two different, very different movies. Kill Bill, which is Volume 1 and 2 put together because that's how it's supposed to be.
So it's a three-way tie.
So it's Kill Bill or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I watched Kill Bill 1,000 times. I love that movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I saw it once with my dad.
I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It meant so much being able to watch a Quentin Tarantino film with my dad in theaters because we watched most of the Tarantino films together. And then when I went to the movie theater, we had it for 3 weeks. I think I saw it probably 6 times. Like, if I had a little bit of free time and I was, I had a bit where I just didn't have school, so I didn't have anything to do. I went to go watch Once Time in Hollywood because it's that good that it makes you think every scene. But yeah, Tarantino is one of my favorite directors. Kill Bill cost $30 million to make, and it made $180.9 million. And then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood cost $90 million to make. I mean, you got three of some of the biggest actors going right now, or actresses. It is still making money. They haven't finished. There's places still showing it.
Is that good?
Which
it came out in July?
No, it came out right before we left for college. It came out in August.
August, yeah.
Yeah, it was like August 9th, I think.
That's insane.
And it's still in theaters, still technically making money. So
that's 7 months?
Yeah.
That's like...
People are still coming out.
That's so long.
And the poster's in my room because it's a banging poster.
That's insane. The Little Women was another one great movie from last year. And it was in theaters for 2 months.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Killer movie. Quentin Tarantino, killer director. And he will be featured again on this list.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was released July 26, 2019.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
So 8 months.
Yeah, so yeah. 8 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so yeah, right around July, August. I saw it the day it came out. And
that's crazy.
I came twice, and the girl next to me was fapping all over Leo. Leo.
She was calling it. Her name was Stacy, and she was saying, "Oh, Stacy." No. Leonardo DiCaprio paused in the movie, turned and said, "Oh, Leo." And they call each other by their name.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah, that's actually a weird part of the movie.
Yeah.
It's been in every single theater.
There's always a Stacy, dude.
Yeah. Leo just pauses halfway through and goes, "Stacy," and then turns and...
They break the fourth wall for some reason, but the rest of the movie's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is obviously... If you mash up all those incredible actors with Quentin Tarantino. I don't think it's gonna do good. Yeah, I don't think there's a way that it could be.
My favorite line from that movie is when Tex is saying to the Jackie Chan character.
Oh, Cliff Booth.
He's talking to Bruce Lee, and he says, "You kill anybody with your hands, you go to jail. It's manslaughter."
My favorite line is Tex coming in, and he goes, "I'm the devil," and he goes, "Nah, that's not it." He's talking about his name, because he's high off an LSD cigarette, and he goes, that's not your name. No. And I was like, Brad Pitt was a badass in that movie.
He was so
and Tarantino was like, "Yo, foot fetish."
That's true.
Full ramp. There's feet in every scene.
You know what?
Quentin Tarantino can do whatever the hell he pleases at this point in his life.
Oh, dude. Ugliest dude.
He has feet. Hitchcock has birds. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
What does Spielberg have?
Sharks.
Drunk.
drunk. Giant monsters.
Drunk kids, and if you read any of his stories, kid orgies.
That's true.
What's your number two?
And My Girl.
I just want to run through a couple of the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood awards. 2020 Golden Globe for Best Screenplay to Tarantino. Best Actor in Supporting Role in the Academy Awards 2020 to Brad Pitt. 2020 Best Golden Globe Best Supporting Actor, Brad Pitt. Academy Award for Best Production Design, Barbara Ling, Nancy
Oh, that's
Hyde.
True. It feels like it's the 60s.
Oh, yeah. The whole movie, you don't think it's...
Brad Pitt, off of this movie alone, won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... awards are major. I mean, Golden Globes and Academy
Awards.
He had
a pretty good awards season.
And Leo won nothing.
Story of his life.
Exactly.
He won a 22-year-old hot model and a couple tens of millions of dollars.
Probably more than that.
I think he's probably okay with not winning any. If I had to guess, sitting at what, he's like 49 or something, Leonardo DiCaprio is pretty fine with only winning one Oscar.
Now on to my number two. It's A Wonderful Life, the Christmas special. Slightly better than the Boba Fett Christmas special. Just hardly, though. Obviously, it's a classic. I hope both of you have seen it. Have you?
Nope, I have not. I mean, it's from 1946.
I wasn't born then, so, like, any movie...
I mean, the majority of my movies, I was not dead for, but not alive for, I guess. I was dead for the majority of my movies. But also, that's not possible?
Yeah.
Not true? I don't know.
Basically, It's a Wonderful Life is kind of like the modern-day Scrooge, where a ghost just shows him what life would be like if he was dead. And it's done in a way that it doesn't feel like it's just the Christmas story.
Copying Jim Carrey's A Christmas Story.
Yeah. It actually won I think it won the best Golden Globe, the first Golden Globe for Best Director in 1946.
Really? That's crazy.
Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what Google's telling me right now. It won Golden Globe Award for Best Director. I'm sure it won a couple more ones. It's from 1946, so it's kind of hard to dig up information on it. It was done on a $3.12 million budget, and it made $3.86 million at the box office. I mean, it's a classic. I think we're going to eventually watch it on this show.
We don't watch it around Christmas time. I don't want to watch it in the
Christmas
middle of the fucking summer.
Christmas special. We all drink eggnog. Non-spiked. Maybe spiked. Who knows?
I hate eggnog.
And
it's
watch
just
it.
Thick milk.
Eggnog is delicious.
Thick. Two Qs of CK and some whiskey.
Well, usually I don't even just drink the eggnog. I just take two eggs, crack them, and then just put some cinnamon in it and drink it.
Well, that's fine.
That's okay. It has no milk.
Yeah. I'm lactose intolerant.
But it's
you
a
dick.
Uh-huh. It's a Wonderful Life is also special.
I also lactose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like toast too. It's a Wonderful Life is also special to me because it's my father's favorite Christmas movie and my favorite Christmas movie by association. So yeah, that's my number two.
I don't think
James,
I have a favorite Christmas movie.
What's yours, Rudolph?
What would be a favorite Christmas movie?
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special.
There's no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special, but there is. Life Day.
Ooh,
the Life Day
no.
Chewbacca special.
I was about to say Groundhog Day, but that's not a Christmas movie.
My favorite's Die Hard.
It's snowing.
My favorite Christmas movie's Die Hard.
My second
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
My second favorite movie of all time is Interstellar. Probably one of the best movies of all time. Matthew McConaughey is just an acting god.
Matthew McConaughey, hey.
My
big Timothy Chalamet guy over here.
He is in that. He's on screen for like a total of 10 minutes. So, I mean, it's basically a Timothy Chalamet movie.
There is a, sorry to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
There is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special called We Wish You a Turtle Christmas.
That's funny. Let's get it on VHS.
It's $30 on VHS tape. I'm sorry. I can't do that. Okay, go
ahead. $30? Oh my God. Yeah. It cannot be that good.
It's so fucking good.
It's the best movie of all time. It's so underground, though. Okay, Interstellar, anyways.
You could say it's in the sewer.
Oh, it's only a 25-minute live action. You're paying...
Oh, my God. You're paying for more minutes.
A dollar.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Anyways, Interstellar, probably one of the most hard-hitting movies. It's a movie that, like, it makes you feel so happy and sad, and it's just such a wide range of emotions, and just the fact that they based it off of all real science is incredible. And a little bit of science fiction, but mostly real science, is, I don't know, I love it. Matthew McConaughey is incredible in Interstellar. The scene where his son is made the video for him that they sent, but obviously he can't send it back because he's in a whole different universe, basically, and he's just crying, but happy crying, but sad crying at the same time. Some of the best acting, I think, of ever is that scene of him crying, watching his son grow up and mature. And I think that's such a cool story, such a cool story to tell in a little 5-minute period of a father watching their son grow up. Because there's no other way to encapsulate somebody being able to watch their kids grow up within such a short amount of time, like they did in that movie. And it's such a heartstring puller. And of course, it's Matthew McConaughey. So.
Matthew McConaughey, hey.
Exactly.
All right, well, before we get to our number one, we all have movies. We all love certain movies. And we just can't get them all in the top 10. So we're going to name some honorable mentions. Just name them all off. I have on my list The Wrestler. It's a great film. It's really good. Shows this downfall. It's like the opposite of Rocky. And then it's the uprising, and then it's like Rocky. Tucker and Dale versus Evil is fucking hilarious, and we will be watching it. Every other Tarantino movie, because they're all fucking good. Back to the Future 2, it's just fun to watch.
That's your favorite of all the Back to the Future movies?
I love Back to the Future 2.
I think that's my least favorite.
Really? I hate Back to the Future 3.
My favorite's the first one.
The first one's good.
I've never seen any of them.
Back to the...
Wow.
Whoa, fucking hell.
RoboCop, though.
And then the last part...
Well, I'm glad we're not friends anymore, so...
The last one on my honorable mentions is the John Wick series. I love
those. Yeah, those are... I didn't like the third one, but the first two...
I like the third one because it's, like, the most story that you get. But that's just me personally.
I thought the third one was most... was the most fighting you get. I didn't like the... I felt like the third one had the least amount of plot.
The first one is like, you killed my fucking dog, I'm back, bitches. And the second one's like, there is so much shit that you don't know. And then the third one's like, there's even more shit that you don't know, but think about it. And they're like, huh.
Yeah.
Now he's fingerless? Plot twist. Now he's fingerless? And you get to watch, it's gross. Yeah, but
series are good. And he said he will make literally as many as people want.
I want John Wick 69 420. Just Keanu Reeves.
Almost 7,000 or 70,000 movies.
Yes, like, Keanu Reeves.
If Fast and the Furious can do it, so can John Wick.
I just want Keanu Reeves smoking a big fat bowl and getting his dick sucked for an hour and a half. Like, I just want that movie.
I think you can find that somewhere. I'm sure there's some. Sure
Let's
some
look
place.
It up.
Oh, wait, that's all my top 10 movies for the other podcast. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Skinophiles.
My favorite Skinophile's Ed Gein. He said, "Give me head," and murdered people. Anyway,
my honorable mentions are The Breakfast Club.
Ooh.
Call Me by Your Name.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Titanic, obviously.
Ooh, yeah.
Schindler's List, I think, is a classic.
Oh yeah.
Joker, I think, is the best movie I've seen. Obviously, I put The Lighthouse above it. Lighthouse had more impact on me. Objectively, I think The Joker is the best movie I've seen in the last 2 years. I think it's even better than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Casino Royale, the 2006 version with Daniel Craig. Oh, the original is pretty badass. just the things that they can do in 2006 that they couldn't do in the late 60s, early 70s.
What do you mean? That was the height of technology.
And plus...
We went to the moon.
And plus, Casino Royale 2006 is not about just slanging dick in a casino, whereas the original one with Sean Connery really was.
Was
just
yeah,
about
just slanging dick in a casino. And you know what? He made it entertaining with one death scene.
Where Casino Royale is more of 2006 is more about stopping a bad guy.
Yeah, which while slanging dick in a casino. It's about James Bond.
Exactly.
It's the first thing. It's the first James Bond movie where he gets a license to kill.
Yeah.
Where it's like, whoa, he has a license to kill, and then it's like. Yo, James Bond is fucking awesome.
Yeah, Casino Royale 2006
version is really good. He got his balls whipped in Skyfall.
Every single Daniel Craig James Bond movie is really good.
It's been good, yeah.
I think...
It's almost like Daniel Craig's an amazing actor.
I think it's almost like he's the perfect
Knives
James
out?
Bond.
I think Pierce Brosnan is a little bit better of a James Bond, but that's up for debate.
James Bond movies are... I mean,
yeah,
there's...
I don't know, not Andy Dalton. Dalton was okay.
Yeah, Andy Dalton, best of...
Dalton was okay. He looked a little bit too young for the part. Brosnan was like the perfect.
He was like he was like 40.
I think every single Connery, Brosnan, and Craig James Bond movie are all fantastic, and the rest of them are a crapshoot. But I mean, when three of your five Bonds are fantastic,
really good,
and that's the majority of your movies, they're also your three longest tenured Bonds. I think that's we I talk about James Bond all day. Let's get off that before I do. James, what's your
Goldfinger? So my girlfriend calls me.
My five honorable mention movies.
She calls me Dr. No.
Ooh.
another movie with Timothy Chalamet in it, Little Women, which I thought should have won more awards than it did in the awards season.
Timothy Chalamet isn't little or a woman.
Well, he's little, but he's not a woman.
Debatable.
No, it's a horse cock. I saw it. No one by your name.
Anyway, Little Women, I thought was really liked it. It was really good. Came out last year. Anchorman, one of the funniest movies
of
all time.
Hilarious.
For no reason. Like, there's no actually funny
it's
part
a movie
of Anchorman.
About nothing.
It's a movie about absolutely
you guys are
going to
love my number one then.
And Anchorman is just so...
Anchorman 1 and then Anchorman 2, watching them back to back, you're like, this smacks.
And I think... Will Ferrell hinted to sometime in the next decade making another Anchorman movie, and I'm so excited because...
They just put Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, and Paul Rudd in a sandbox of comedy and said, do whatever the literal hell you want. And
here's a general idea. Just kind of get us there. The whole scene, the scene of them all grabbing weapons to fight other news stations, and then... The wall of cologne, and he's like, this one's called Sex Panther. Like, that, I want a
60% of the time,
every time. I want a Sex Panther shirt. Oh, yes. We need to do that movie, because we just over jokes.
I will choose Anchorman one of these next times. Anyway, my third honorable mention, Why Him, with James Franco, 2016. James Franco doesn't do a lot of movies because he's so artistic and introspective and into
artistic,
all that.
Artistic. Emphasis the art.
Yes, very art.
Artistic.
Very artsy. Anyway, he's hilarious in that role. And Bryan Cranston is also in that movie. And together, their dynamic in that movie is so funny. And I absolutely loved it. A movie that Logan hates, Cat in the Hat.
I'm so excited!
Oh my god, that movie is hilarious.
I feel like I need
anything.
I feel like
anything.
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 I'll get you a man with like a bloody accident.
We need to watch that movie.
Yes, because it is so good.
Inebriated. Very inebriated.
I don't care what you say. That is Mike Myers' best performance.
You could have just gotten a phone call saying that your cat, your dog, and your grandpa died in a horrible car accident, and you watch that movie.
And you do not care. You are glad they did, because that means you got to watch this movie.
You could be as sober as a judge and watch this movie and feel not sober.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you would ask.
Yeah, I watched it one time going to the zoo. And every time when I walked around like the zoo, I was like, I felt like I was having a residual high because it made me just be like,
what if those elephants just turned purple, grabbed top hats, and did a backflip out of their cage right there?
Exactly. And then my fifth one, Spike Lee's, a Spike Lee joint. 2018, Black Klansman.
That one's hilarious. That's a great movie.
Such a good movie. It's so funny. Yeah. The scene at the end where I can't remember it's Denzel Washington's son. So Washington is making the call to Topher Grace's character, the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, and he starts calling him all of the racially ambiguous names. It's just so funny. This the entire movie. It's such a good compilation of topical, funny, and serious in a drama all together. It's just you can tell that Spike Lee is such a good director. Because of how he made this movie so good. Such an amazing movie. I loved it.
Black Klansman, great movie. All right, guys. Number one. Drum roll, please. Now that you all just had to turn down your car radio or your headphones because we're obnoxiously loud, my number one film is a film that I watched with my dad for the very first time. Actually, no. I watched with my aunt for the first time, didn't know what was going on, then watched it with my dad about 3 years later and fell in love with it. It's the reason why I kind of chilled out a little bit, mellowed out. I like to tell people to calm down, man.
This is mellowed,
Logan? And you know what?
Oh, my God.
Dude.
Are you addicted to Adderall before you watch this movie?
I don't know. it's the Big Lebowski. And does anyone give a damn about the rules? Because I just whipped out a gun. And Walter, it's not that serious. You can put the gun down. I love this movie. I can quote it word for word. I have it on
disc.
Do it right now. I have it on disc in my room.
What's the 75th letter of the second hour?
It's K.
Holy shit, he's right! Let's go look.
No, I love this movie, and it only cost $15 million to make, and it made $47.6
million. My first movie is cheaper.
It's a movie that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And has zero plot. Like, I love that. Like, the plot line is there, but it's like, it's definitely weaving. And me and my dad, we piss off my mom, because anytime this is on TV, we click on it, and no matter what scene it's on, we just start quoting. And she's like, this is fucking annoying. Because, like, we did it one time, my mom just started making a margarita, because we were like, Big Lebowski! But I love this movie. It's fantastic. 10 out of 10 from me, and yeah, it makes me want to bowl. yeah, it's fantastic. I love this movie.
Mine's also the Big Lebowski, and James, all of our top one is the Big Lebowski. Oh my God. No. My number one is The Great Gatsby. Best Leonardo DiCaprio performance of all time.
When I said that earlier, it was a joke, but I didn't know you were being for real.
Yeah, when you said that earlier, I leaned to James and said, well, he's really not going to like my number one. The Great Gatsby was made on a $105 million budget, made I just really had a aneurysm there trying to say the word three. $353.6 million.
That's a trigger word.
Yeah, three. It made $353.6 million. I personally think this is, for all the Leonardo DiCaprio movies I've watched, I like him best in this movie.
Being a sleazy rich dude, is actually secretly, like, really fucked up.
The persona that Leonardo DiCaprio exudes in real life fits The Great Gatsby to a T. Like, beautifully. I don't even think he had to act for this. I think he just had to put on an accent and say Old Spoilmore, and he was there. He was already there.
I live in New Egg.
And a lot of people don't like this movie. I don't know why.
I like this movie a lot, and it's shot very weird. I think a lot of people don't like it because it's overtly colorful. Yeah, like it is.
It's very
fake looking, but it's fantastic.
I think that's what
they're. It looks very fake. But if you read the book, that's the whole point.
Like, the whole book is talking about
imagery and being color
fake.
The whole book and its entirety is fake. Is based around look how beautiful all of these riches look, but it's all fake. They're still unhappy underneath. Exactly. I think that's what the entire... It's the same thing...
It's really just a big budget indie film at the end of the day.
It's the same thing of like the 300 shooting there is so weird with a weird lighting scale because they're trying to convey a certain type of aesthetic. Yeah.
It's not that they shot it bad. It's that they chose to shoot it that way.
Exactly. I think that the cinematography, if you understand where they're coming from, is incredible. I think Tobey Maguire. I have two former Spider-Men as two of my starring actors. That's funny.
I actually didn't like Tobey Maguire in this one.
You didn't?
No.
He felt really dorky, feels dorky in general.
Nick Carraway is such a hard character to play anyways, and I felt like he played the very cheesiest version of Nick Carraway. And I feel like Nick Carraway is the only character in... I'm a huge... That's one of my five most favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
That was a horrible sentence.
That's one of my most favorite in this book.
That's one of my five favorite books. And Nick Carraway is the most real person in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to give the cheesiest performance mm-hmm. in the movie... Feels like it's like that's to me that's disappointing because Nick Carraway is such a real person in the book, and then you watch the movie and McGuire feels phony. It's like, oh, that's the one thing that's missing. I think it's a great movie. Besides, that's the one thing that's missing.
I love the book, but I love McGuire's performance in this. Something about obviously that character is so hard to play.
You have to be overtly serious
and you have to still be funny. And it's such a... Because Leonardo DiCaprio was not playing Tobey Maguire and he was so damn good as Gatsby,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to... You know what I mean? It's hard to not get outshined by him. And
yeah.
It's hard to not get outshined by Leonardo DiCaprio no matter who you are, let alone when you're Maguire, who's a good actor, but I wouldn't say one of the best actors of our generation.
Oh, nowhere near it.
Like DiCaprio is. I think that his performance was really good in this. I liked the cheesiness. I think that's part of the draw of it. It feels like it's 1920s and I'm snapping my fingers and there's a dude talking to me in a bad mobster accent in my ear.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking in
a... Are you from New Egg?
And I'm drinking in a speakeasy, right? I think that's part of the draw, especially for me. I think it's part of the draw to this movie. I mean,
the sound design of this movie is probably my favorite aspect because the score
mm-hmm.
isn't from the 1920s. It's from the 2000s.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to reflect on how we're basically living in the 1920s again.
Yeah. The score is... gorgeous. Leonardo DiCaprio is incredible. I think everyone's performance in this movie in terms of acting was really, really good. The costumes are insane. To make it look like you're in the 20s for the entire movie
mm-hmm.
and make it look so convincing is so, so good. Like, I'm just going to rattle off some of the awards for it just because I think this movie is so good. Academy Award for Best Production Design. Academy Award for Best Costume Design. ACTA Award for Best Lead Actor went to Leo. That's sad they didn't win an Academy Award for this. Actor Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, but what year did it come out?
2014. I can't remember what came out in 2014.
Oh, Google it.
Actor Award for Best Supporting Actor went to Joel Edgerton. Actor Award for Best Supporting Actress went to Elizabeth Debicki. Actor Award for Best Film. BAFTA Award for Best Costume Design.
BAFTA?
BAFTA Award for Best Production Design. Satellite Award, Critics' Choice Awards, more ACTA Awards.
That was the year...
Best Direction.
Matthew McConaughey won the Best Actor Award for Dallas Buyers Club.
Ah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Dallas Buyers Club smacks.
Also, DiCaprio also acted in The Wolf of Wall Street
that same year. God.
So,
How did Leonardo DiCaprio...
American Hustle...
Because it's the same character, just different time period.
Dallas Buyers Club, American Hustle, Nebraska, The Wolf of Wall Street, and 12 Years a Slave all came out this year.
That's true.
So, I mean...
I don't know. How did Leonardo DiCaprio do it? Turned in The Great Gatsby and then Wolf of Wall Street.
In the same, yeah.
Two of the best acted films, I think. I don't know how Wolf of Wall Street didn't make my top 10 or my honorable mentions. It's so hard to put movies into a top 15 when you've watched so many.
Yeah.
You know? I think
I've watched 10 movies. So it's pretty easy for
me. If I had to make a top 20, I think Wolf of Wall Street would definitely make it. I think it's just a good
movie.
Oh my god, so good. I love this movie so much. I think Leo in it is, like I said, I think this is my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio performance. And I mean, the Titanic made my honorable mention.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to make a list of DiCaprio's bad performances than it is to make a list of his good performances.
I can count on my three fingers list of DiCaprio's bad performances.
And they're probably not even bad.
No, for Leonardo DiCaprio, they're bad, right?
Yeah.
Which are fantastic movies.
Exactly. I mean, I thought he sucked in Shutter Island, but that's just me.
Bro, Shutter Island?
Shutter Island, What's Eating Gilmore Grape.
And The Departed.
And The Departed.
Yep, that's
three shitty movies.
Exactly. I mean, Great Gatsby, despite not doing as well in the box office as a lot of big blockbuster Leonardo DiCaprio movies,
it's like comparing an apple.
Also,
to
every single person had to read The Great Gatsby in high school and hated it because English teachers love this book, so of course they hated it. So they're going to see that it's The Great Gatsby and be like, eh, I don't like that. I had to read that book one time.
Captain America Winter...
Books? No!
Captain America Winter Soldier's out right now. I can't watch Great Gatsby.
Exactly. The Great Gatsby to me is... not even like... The number 23 impacted me a ton as a writer. And, like, The Blues Brothers impacted my family a ton because me and my dad's favorite movie. The Great Gatsby is just to me is probably my favorite movie of all time, just that I've watched. Just
there's also a May release date, so
it's
like,
kind of difficult to.
So
make
they
last.
Didn't do the do its justice to
the
make
big
it,
summer
yeah.
release or the
exactly
the
they,
big holiday
they did
release.
A spring release, and spring release movies just aren't they don't make good money because that's when people are in finals and
or going out and doing things.
Yeah, it's spring. People are going to baseball games. It's literally the worst time to release a movie.
They're going to picnics. They're eating apple pies. They're doing outdoor things.
They're having great sneezing sex because everyone is allergic to pollen.
What's your number one?
My number one is the movie that actually inspired me to act and do dramatic acting because I'm not funny, so I can't do comedic acting. Yeah, how did you guess? No. It's a movie that you guys probably haven't heard of. 1955, James Dean's best movie, Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, of course I've seen it. It's a great movie.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
What's the plot, Logan?
James Dean.
Okay, fair enough. it follows James Dean as a new kid in a town who's playing this rebellious character, and is just going through the struggles of being a new kid in a town in the 50s, kind of being a greaser, and just trying to fit in. And he's responsible for the murder of two kids throughout the course of the movie. But besides that, he falls in love and rebels against his parents.
Come
so
on, you haven't murdered anyone, have you?
Who
hasn't murdered
anyone? Who doesn't do two murders in high school? I mean, come on, you can't really fall.
The only thing I'd be murdering is James's ass.
Anyways, this is a movie that inspired me to do dramatic acting, and just there's scenes in this movie that are probably still some of the best dramatic acting, even, that's 65 years later, which is incredible to be that good, and the fact that he died sucks, because who knows, he probably... Him and Marlon Brando would have had the exact same career. If he knew, maybe they do Godfather together. That would have been incredible. Two of the best method actors of all time. And just an inspired...
With Marilyn Monroe as a supporting actor.
Mm-hmm. Just an inspired... Actress. We're all actors. Actor's a genderless word, Matt.
Actress.
No, it's actor. Anyways, just an inspired performance. His best performance... it made triple its budget in the box office with a whopping $4.5 million in the box office.
Yeah, because they're going to cost a fucking nickel.
No, yeah. it came out in 1955, so pretty old.
It cost a nickel and a penny to
exactly.
Go on a date.
And he actually used his salary from this movie to buy the car that he died in. So pretty interesting. His best performance bought him his death.
That's deep, bro. That's like the Great Gatsby, bro.
Yeah. It is.
It's like the Big Lebowski, bro.
Your money despises you death. All right, lightning round. Name two movies you didn't make your list, you couldn't fit in, and then your favorite TV show.
Off the dome.
I already got it.
Go ahead.
That did make it would be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I love that movie. I saw it 3 times at theaters, once with my girlfriend, and twice by myself because I was really bored. And I already said every other Tarantino film, so I'm not going to bring that. Probably Halloween 2018. That film is fantastic and it's a great sequel to a horror franchise that I love. Favorite TV show is
Grey's Anatomy.
Dexter?
Okay.
I like Dexter a lot. Or That 70s Show, depending on how I feel.
My two. Wolf of Wall Street.
Smacking.
Yeah, obviously. And then Skyfall, which is another
also smacking.
Also another James Bond movie I wanted to fit in but couldn't. Favorite TV show for me is pretty easy, it's Lucifer.
Lucifer smacks. Lucifer popped in my head, and I was like, I watched Dexter 3 times. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, I've watched that 70s show 8 times.
Dexter is cool, but it's like, the first 3 seasons are incredible, and then the rest
rest is like, yeah, I usually just restart it. the third season, not gonna lie.
James, off the top of the dome, 1, 2, 3, go.
Okay, two movies I didn't make.
10.
Adam West, stop. Adam West, 1966 Batman. 8. Holy cow, Batman. That's a great movie. It's a great movie. Adam West is the best Batman of all time, and that's an amazing movie. I have it on VHS. I'll buy a VHS player, and we will watch it.
On the
and
flat
then
screen
Will
TV.
Will Ferrell's Talladega Nights.
I had Talladega Nights on my honorable mentions.
Oh my God, it's
and
so
I had Blades
good.
Of Glory on there,
yes.
And I was like,
Blades
this
of
is just
so
Will.
Fun.
I was like, this is just Will Ferrell.
What
movies.
Do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
I love that movie. And then you guys are going to hate me for my TV show, Friends. It's classic. For whatever reason...
You are a Friends person.
It's 4 claps.
That's not it.
Yeah,
that's
it
not
is. It. It's four claps. Dun 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 dun.
So if I tell you that is going to be the strain.
It's four claps. Look, I know for a fact.
Yeah, no, one, two, three. Oh, what the fuck?
You did it in a weird way. You made it sound odd.
No, you smacked like your fingers together and it was like not loud.
Anyways, I love Friends. It's a great story. It's one of the only sitcoms and TV shows that's captivating from the first season to the last.
Seinfeld.
It doesn't taper off at the end. There's no two bad seasons at the end like there is
Always Sunny in Philadelphia
or The Office or shows like that. It's captivating all the way through the end, like
yeah,
Seinfeld.
Yeah, The Office had that feeling whenever
cool.
it was dying
after
off.
Michael after
and Michael left.
Yeah, after
yeah,
Michael
like,
after Michael died.
Like,
I was like,
I think you watched a different.
And then
actually, I was talking about the UK version.
Have yeah. we seen? Have you guys ever watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Mm. No.
Bro, we're doing a TV podcast, dude. Do you guys have Hulu?
Yeah.
And you guys haven't watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I watch good TV shows.
Oh, can we go? Can we watch? Can we watch?
Modern Family though.
Do you have it on your PlayStation?
Yeah.
We're gonna go watch my favorite episode of Always Sunny. And then we'll...
Yeah, I'm watching the Blues Brothers when I go back in my room.
Can we please watch one episode of Always Sunny?
All right. And also Jennifer Aniston in Friends is a babe, bro.
Her nipples are hard all the time, bro.
You're not wrong.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Thank God.
Before we leave you, I would like to leave you with the synopsis of the plot of the We Wish You a Turtle Christmas.
Oh, do we have to?
We have to.
We wish
you my head already hurts, though.
We wish you
gather
a turtle
around,
Christmas.
Children.
We wish you
drink
a turtle
your eggnog.
Christmas.
It's Christmas Eve, and the Ninja Turtles have accidentally forgotten to get Splinter a gift. Oh, no! The Turtles argue about who is supposed to get the gift. Unfortunately, the stores are closing, so they don't have much time. The Turtles
so they
go
rob an old lady.
The Turtles go above the surface, apparently undisguised, and decorate a tree in Times Square. Michelangelo sings some opera, much to the other's annoyance. After Mikey stops singing, they go to his store to buy the gift. They suggest comic books, video games, and yo-yos, but end up buying a framed plastic pizza. While wrapping the gift, they sing the rap rap. So let's wrap it up like the rap rap and get out of here. Thank you for listening to the Cinephiles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I just got a tumor. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Cinephiles. Follow Over the Top on Instagram at Over the Top Prod and on Twitter at Over the Top MO. Follow me on Twitter at McFarlandMattZero and on Instagram at Matthew E. McFarland Logan. Drop the ats, bro.
Follow me on Instagram at Lil Logie Bear or follow me on Twitter at LoganReinhardt4. I don't tweet that often. I don't post that often, but
do it anyway, bro.
I'll do it anyway. I like to post. I talk about movies. But yeah, definitely tweet Over the Top. Tell us what you guys want to hear, and maybe we might do a fan suggestion.
Yeah, and then report us for spam. Yeah.
Anyways, James.
Follow me at j.ryanlarson on Instagram, not on Twitter. I don't have a Twitter. That's
follow
that's
j.ryanlarson on Twitter too, though.
Yeah, right, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody
I'm
out
sure
there on Twitter.
It.
If there is, follow him. I'm sure he's a great guy. How could he not be?
Yeah, he's
he shares
sweet.
My first initial, middle, and last name.
Yeah.
So. Also, my social security
number.
He shares
your entire name.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. It could be like Jordan Ryan Larson or something like that.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure James is the only J name.
I mean, you're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah, I just checked, and then James is the only J name.
Yeah, I looked in the encyclopedia of names.
In my brain.
I have met every single person ever, and there's only J, James, and J, James.
Jack, no Jacks, no.
So we should have probably figured this out before we started going deep into this conversation. Do I choose a movie, or is Matt choosing a movie?
I think you can choose a movie. Later.
Boo. He chooses a movie, but I get to veto it if I don't like it.
All right, so my movie that I have wanted to be able to watch
Vito.
With you guys is a movie that I love, and it's very artsy, and it's very dorky. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World, or
Vito.
Or plot twist.
We will vote.
Plot twist. They're both kind of dorky. They're both in the same light. We will end up doing both movies just because I like both of them. American Ultra.
Vito both. Both done. No, we're doing American Pie, The Naked Mile. That's it. I don't get whatever you want to choose, Logan. I forgot
I've never heard of either one.
You've never heard of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World or American Ultra?
Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is what we're doing. I like Pilgrims. I like the world.
I like Scott.
Actually, let's do American Ultra for now. It's a little different, and I think you guys will really like it because it's got the best Lex Luthor of all time.
Oh, is it a Superman movie?
No.
Oh.
No, if you guys don't like American Ultra versus the World, at Logan Reinhardt.
It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World or American Ultra.
No, American Ultra. We're doing a crossover episode. Yeah.
That would be a headache. Yeah, we'll do American Ultra. It's on Hulu.
If you guys don't like the movie, at Logan, not me or James, and tell him how much it sucks.
You can ask me, though, just because I get lonely.
Yeah. James is single. Actually, yeah, James on Snapchat. He needs people to talk to.
Yeah, it's just underscore. That's
just underscore.
That's my Snapchat.
But spelled out.
Yeah, underscore. Do not Snapchat the guy whose name is underscore. You do not want to talk to him. Trust me.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Cinephiles.
I'm underscore.
We will see you soon with our next episode of
American Ultra.
American Ultra. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Goodbye? It's a good lie?
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Toodaloo, I like that. Toodaloo. Goodbye.
Toodaloo?